I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic. We are your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists, and musicians.
And I'm award-winning singer-songwriter and indie filmmaker Marcia Novelli, founder of the electronic rock band Midnight Soundtrack.
This week, we're welcoming LA-based singer-songwriter Molly Moore to the show. Molly's been building a name for herself on SoundCloud with her brand of intelligent pop. Her singles Don't Believe It and Natural Disaster have been played thousands of times and have solidified her as an artist to watch.
And Molly recently signed a publishing deal with Amalgam, and we're looking forward to finding out more about what she's got coming up and advice she would offer to other musicians who would like to build an audience on SoundCloud or sign a publishing deal. Hey, Molly.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
I am well. We won't tell people that was my second attempt at that because I can't speak. But
totally.
Everyone else won't know that, so we're good. So, Molly, tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know.
Three things about myself that everybody should know. Okay. I'm really all about the music. That's like my whole life right now. I grew up acting, but music is really like where my head's at right now. They should just be random things. I have like a growing OCD with like cleanliness ever since I moved into my new place and just like keeping everything super clean. So that's just like a random fact that people can know about me. And what else? I feel like I kind of like came out of the womb as like a songwriter. I've just been like making melodies and lyrics and putting them together since I was like 7 and knew how to write, so it's just like all I really know how to do.
I was gonna say I'd love to see that, and then I thought no, I wouldn't like to see that. You can go to the room as a songwriter, so it's kind of like mixed feelings on that one.
Oh, but my gosh,
what instrument would you have come up with?
Nice. What probably instrument? Guitar.
Probably guitar.
Probably guitar, but
that'd be painful.
That would be really painful. That's really graphic, actually.
We'll just leave it at that. The image you put in my mind when you said that, I was like, God.
Marcio, I think I need to rein you in. So, Molly, you've been building a name for yourself on SoundCloud, and actually that's how I first heard you, because I got an email when Natural Disaster, Matthew Shell's remix of it came out.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, I loved it when I heard that.
Yeah, I love that song.
Thank you so much.
How important has SoundCloud been in establishing yourself both as a writer and a musician?
It's been everything for me. I mean, I started putting music up like only about a year ago or like 11 months ago. And it's been like my entire platform up until about 3 months ago. I got my music on iTunes and Spotify, but SoundCloud is a crazy platform because there's all these people that only listen to music on SoundCloud. They don't even use Spotify or iTunes because SoundCloud's just this huge, like, it's like a social network. It's like Facebook. So it's been really awesome to just kind of like throw paint at the wall. Like the first thing I posted up there was a demo, and like it just got a lot of love, like not like a massive amount, but like people were listening to it. And I was like, that's really cool. Like I haven't had any music out for, I mean, I had like older stuff out when I was younger, but I hadn't put out music for a couple of years. I'd really just been like in the studio trying to like hone my craft and work on writing. So SoundCloud's been like just huge for me to just be able to put my music out there and like just reach a whole audience of people that you otherwise wouldn't reach, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, how do you reach people on SoundCloud?
For me, when I first started, I mean, I had like a, the social media is a whole like game, and like with Twitter, like you can like follow people and they'll follow you back and hopefully they'll check you out if they, you know, are actually like into music. And so for me, like I was sort of like trying to do the whole like building my Twitter fan base thing. And then like simultaneously when I put out Hallucinating, I just started following people on SoundCloud, and they limit you. Like at a certain point, like I had followed like 1,000 people and I couldn't follow anymore. But like, that's like a big way to just reach people, is to just follow them, because they're like, who's this person? And they could actually get interested. It's sort of like the most organic way to kind of get yourself in front of someone. And then you can like, you can go message a bunch of random people, but it's better to kind of, just like, it's sort of like a like on Facebook. It's like, hey, I'm here. Like, I'm reminding you of my existence, you know? So it's sort of like introducing yourself in this sort of passive way. But I think it's cool, because it's, you can just like grow something organically that way.
You know what? That is so refreshingly honest. I think, no, seriously, a lot of musicians would not admit that they'd go out and follow people, and because it's really just about sharing. It's like an introduction, right?
Totally.
You're not forcing on anyone. You're just like, hey, if you want to check it out, check it out.
Yeah, and especially,
cool.
I mean, especially when you don't have, like, money, like, yeah, to promote your music. Like, for me, like, I became obsessed with, like, the blogs. Like, when I first put Natural Disaster out, that was, like, the first produced song that I had out. And I hadn't really, like, tried to promote either of the songs. I just, like, posted them on Twitter. And, like, I had, like, an automatic DM sending the link out to people.
Sure.
But when I realized, like, oh, like, I'm just sitting here, like, I'm trying to, like, write, I'm trying to do all these things, but, like, there's something I'm missing. And, like, I started becoming kind of, like, obsessed with just submitting Natural Disaster to blogs, because I could do it, you know? Like, I could just, like, there's, like, tons of blogs online, and there's, like, all these ones that are accepting submissions, and I just got really lucky with it. Like, people just kind of took to it, and it made me realize, like, how much control I actually have over my own career, like, all the things that are actually, like, in my hands that I can do, like, as opposed to just waiting for like some like big company to like come along and like scoop me up and like make
it's
me into like
happen.
A superstar. Like, that doesn't happen.
No.
Like, people think that that happens still, and like maybe it happened like 20 years ago, but like that's just not how the music industry is now. So, and I mean, it's not even about that, really. It's really just about like connecting with people and like having them hear what I'm doing and feeling like I'm making some kind of difference, you know? So yeah, so I've just gotten like inspired in like a kind of do-it-yourself way from the internet and like that platform of SoundCloud and just having that control.
I love that.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's I think too many artists do kind of take the approach of they sit back and they expect someone else to do it for them. So I think it's great that you have taken it into your hands and you are making stuff happen yourself. It's important. And I think, you know, everyone says you should build your team, and yes, you should build your team, but you need to do a lot of the groundwork yourself.
Definitely. And you can't always attract the right people if you're not doing that groundwork, you know? Like, you will attract maybe some people, but maybe they're not the right people that are going to get you where you want to go, you know?
And also, yeah, just because you have a team doesn't mean you stop working. In fact, you're probably working even harder.
The only person that's ever going to work the hardest for you is yourself. And that's something I learned early on. Like, even when I was making, like, demos that maybe I'm not so proud of today, like, I found ways to license them. And I still make, like, random money from my, like, performing rights organization from, like, old demos that I, like, licensed for free to, like, the Kardashians, you know? Like, just, stupid stuff like that that started to get my name going, even though like the music wasn't anywhere near where it is now or where I want it to be. Like, ultimately, like, to have that mentality with your craft, I think, is so important, because there's like the creative side, but then there's this whole other like left brain aspect of it, which is like getting it out there and just exposing it. And I think just like being unique in your ways that you like think about it and go about it is like important.
It's funny you just said like the left brain right brain dichotomy. Like, I always find that too when I'm in the writing mode, that's all right brain. You can't think business or anything.
Right.
Crap. But once
no.
you have your art done, everything, and I hate to say it, turns into a product, then
right.
you can think logistically, like, how do I get this out there? How do I get it on people's ears?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'd like to ask you a little bit about your approach so far. So you've been releasing like singles rather than EPs or albums. Do you think with the way that people consume music now, is it more important to release this content regularly rather than waiting to release, you know, a bundle of tracks, I guess?
Right. I mean, I think that there are pros and cons to both. Like, right now I'm feeling like this urgency to put more music out, because I haven't had anything come out since, I think, like, it was July or June that I put out Don't Believe It. And I think it's easier for people to grasp onto like a whole body of work, even if it is just like a 5-song EP, to have that like in the works when you're putting out singles is like, I think, really important. And yeah, I mean, it's all about how you go about it. For me, like, I'm trying to finish this EP and I'm working on a music video, but it's like, I'm doing everything myself. So it's kind of, it's a lot. It's a large workload. And you want to do it the right way. You know, like, you don't want to just throw music online because you feel like you need to put new music up because you haven't. I think it has to have like some like type of strategy behind it. And yeah, that's sort of how I feel about it.
You recently just signed a publishing deal too with Amaga.
Yeah. Amaga. Yeah. Amaga. Yeah. They're a Dutch company, and they're actually the largest independent publisher. And I'm really excited about it because, ironically enough, the president of the company, the one that signed me, he was the first person that ever heard like my first demos when I was 15. I was like, uh-huh. I sucked. I was so bad. And this guy like saw my like model-y like picture with my blonde hair, and I'm like 15, and I'm like trying to look all like tough and like these like pop rock demos that are just like literally like the first songs I'd ever written on guitar by myself. Right. Like my dad helped me finish the chords.
Oh, that's so cute.
And yeah. So like, I just have funny memories of like hearing this person's name, and he was the first person to say like, you know, it's not there yet, but there's something there, you know, like if you develop it and keep going, it needs like a lot of work, but it's cool. If I feel like it's like full circle that I'm working with him now, especially on a songwriting side. It's really exciting, and I feel like I just feel really, really excited. I've worked hard to get to this point. So
yeah. Can you tell us just a little bit about like what signing a publishing deal can do for an artist and how to get their attention?
Definitely. For me, I mean, I moved out to California almost 4 years ago when I was 19, and I really just started trying to focus on writing for other artists when I came out here, because I just wanted to get better at songwriting and I wanted to work with people that were better than me so I could just learn and grow. And a publisher, like, for that kind of stuff, when you're writing for other artists, they can really help find homes for those songs. Because I mean, I wrote for 2 years straight, and like, not all those songs are cut on artists, not by any means. So like, they can really try and like find the right homes for those songs. And then also from an artist standpoint, I mean, they're like almost as valuable as a record label in the sense that they can like get licenses for your songs for film and TV, which is one of the biggest ways to get like a new artist out there and get them exposure on like a wide scale. So
publishing like, versus licensing, what's the difference?
So like, my publisher has a sync team, so, and they do syncs for film and TV. They send me briefs. I got one this morning for like a beverage company, and so like, sometimes they'll be looking to like replace a song that they can't afford to license because it's like The Weeknd, or it's like just they're looking to help out a new artist and they want a love song and they want it to be this and this and this, and they have specific parameters. But it's really cool because it's a way to make money, A, but B, like to sync your songs as an artist. That's like, that's a major, major part of promoting, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I can't even count how many new artists I found through film and TV. I mean, one thing, I recently watched like MTV Scream.
Show.
And one thing that they did that was really cool was whenever there was a song playing by like a relatively like new artist, it would come up at the bottom, now playing, and it would have the artist's name,
cool.
Track title. And I was just straight on Twitter. I was like following all the people, and I was just like, I just heard your track on MTV Scream. Love it. That's awesome. And yeah, it was just such a really cool idea. I mean, obviously you've got Shazam and stuff on your phone, but right. If you're not quick to use that to find out what a track, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I really liked that they did the now playing thing, and I think it would be cool if more shows did that, just to give that tiny little bit extra, you know, exposure to the people that, you know, that need it a bit more. I think
right. Yeah, I got really excited because like a couple years ago, an older song of mine got placed on like Road Rules Challenge on MTV, and they put my name like on like a Chiron is what they call it or whatever, and it was like Molly Moore now playing Quicksand, and I was like, whoa, That's
really cool. That's cool. Cause I can't even imagine what it'd be like to see my name on TV.
Yeah. It's awesome. That's a great like way to support the artist, because playing them is one thing, but to actually have their name, that's like, that's everything you could ask for as like a new artist, you know?
So Molly, are you ready for 20 questions?
Oh gosh, I'm so not ready. I'm getting anxious just thinking about it. Yeah, I'm totally ready.
All right. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meat or veggies?
Veggies, I think.
Los Angeles or New York? Sorry.
Right now, Los Angeles. I feel like a traitor saying that.
All right.
Twitter or Facebook?
Ooh, Twitter.
I would pick that too. Yoga or yogurt?
Yoga. I don't like yogurt. Something about the textures doesn't sit with me.
Yoga, right on. Miley Cyrus? I sound like such a 70s. I'm like, right on. Groovy, gnarly dude, yoga.
Miley Cyrus or Katy Perry?
Miley Cyrus.
And keep in mind, you can always say neither.
Oh, I can?
Oh, no, we don't like that. We don't like him when people say no.
When it comes down to Miley Cyrus or Katy Perry, you can say either. Anyway, sorry. Friends or Seinfeld?
Friends.
Twerk or work?
Work.
Indie or major?
Indie.
Canada or Scotland?
I'm from Canada. He's from Scotland. I guess we didn't really let her know that before the interview like we usually do. So,
I mean, I don't know much about either place.
Have you ever visited either place?
No, but I'm just going to say Canada. I'm going to say Canada because I used to lie to people and tell them that I was from Canada when I was like 7 for no apparent reason at all. I would literally tell people that I was French Canadian because I wanted to be. Don't know why.
I know sometimes when Americans are like, I've heard of Americans backpacking through Europe saying they're from Canada so that they don't get as much hate.
Well, that's
but
funny.
There was no
logic,
political
like that.
Reason behind it.
I was just, like, young, and I thought that like when I was younger that I could just like be from wherever I wanted to be from. Like that was like just like a thing that I thought. Like I thought I could just like lie and make up my life. So.
Oh my gosh.
Could. That would be cool.
That'd be cool. We could. We'd just make up our histories. Why not? Okay, so I know the answer to this one, but Spotify or SoundCloud?
SoundCloud.
Imogen Heap or Ingrid Michaelson?
Oh, that is so hard. Both of them are like my two of my favorite artists.
I know. I've been stalking you.
Shit. honestly, I want to... Ingrid Michaelson for her like full albums, even though I don't really like the last album very much.
Uh-oh, controversial. Awesome.
Don't worry, Ingrid. I
like a hate tweet. Like,
how dare you, Molly?
Like everything I make. And no, I really like Imogen Heap though for like her progressiveness and her sound. Like she really.
I saw her live a couple of years ago, and it was incredible.
Oh my gosh, that probably was good. Crazy. She really like opened my mind up when I was young to like doing something that was left but still pop. That really inspired me a lot. Mm-hmm. So I have to go with Imogen Heap, even though I feel like a traitor because I definitely listen to like tons of Ingrid Michaelson.
Simon or Garfunkel?
Shit! These are so hard.
I love that shit.
Oh man! Oh, and I just saw their reunion show in Central Park.
Oh yeah,
it was crazy. Garfunkel's like, you can just tell they're both like, there's so much tension because they haven't played in so long, and it's like this like crazy like explosive thing. Man, I mean, I have to say Simon only because he had a career outside of Simon and Garfunkel. You know,
Who wrote Cecilia? Was that Simon?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, of course it was.
But then, like, Bridge Over Troubled Water, that's awful.
Oh, I know.
That's a draw. That's too hard. Yeah. Okay. That's too hard. I'm so passionate.
Breaking Bad or Homeland?
Oh, this is easy. I don't watch either of them.
Oh, was there a third?
Can
drama?
I? Can I pick Fear of the Walking Dead? Because I just got into that, and I don't even watch Walking Dead, but Fear of the Walking Dead is awesome. Really, really dope.
Cool, you've just destroyed one of our future questions.
Oh, is it Walking Dead? Is that the next one?
Yeah, sure. Up. The Walking Dead or American Horror Story?
American Horror Story.
I love it. Excited for the new season?
I'm totally going to watch, even though
me too.
It sort of lost me in the last season. I didn't really finish it, but no, I love the first two seasons.
Yes, Coven is one
so
of those.
So good.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Michael Jackson, come on.
I thought you were going to say the Bolt.
I don't even know who Michael Bolton is. Like, I've heard
you're
that,
too young. You're younger than us. You're younger than us, so you're...
It, really? Okay, it. I'll explain. Michael Bolton, it's not that we are old. But it's because our moms used to listen to Michael Bolton. So
yeah,
that's why we know.
You should know.
Michael
I should
Bolton
know.
Was... Let's give a little short little backstory to Michael Bolton. He wrote and sang huge love ballads in the early 90s. Late 80s, too?
Late 80s,
early 90s.
And what's the biggest song? Like,
I don't even...
When a Man Loves a Woman, that was a cover.
But all his videos had him like with this long curly hair, and like he would like go to the camera and do power grabs and stuff, and he was so like... I don't know.
He was kind of let's say this. He was kind of an 80s and early 90s sex god for moms.
He was a heartthrob. Okay.
Yes, he was. And if you look after this interview, go look it up, and you'll.
I'm gonna do my research.
Yes, yeah. And we're Michael hoping Bolt. To get him on the show. So that's the funny thing. Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Don't tell him that I don't know who he is.
That's okay. I think every single time we do that question, I laugh hysterically. So it'll be funny if we do get him on the show.
Oh, I know.
Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin.
Who's Ricky
Gervais? Oh my god. Okay, you know who Ricky Gervais is. I know you will if I tell you. Okay,
I was born in 1992.
Oh, you can know who Ricky Gervais is. Come on. Have you ever seen you know what The Office? The American Office. Okay, he's the guy who created that, and also he did the original Office.
Shit.
He's the one who did the original Office in the UK. Ricky Gervais, how else would you know him? How else would she know him?
Well, I'm going to pick him because he creates funny shows, and Ricky Martin's kind of just like
a genius.
A Latin singer.
He is a Latin singer.
Sorry, guys. Getting hella real now. Hella real.
We just feel like way older than we are right now, or we just feel old. So
I know,
thank
I feel,
you for that,
I
Molly.
I feel ignorant and naive.
Appreciate it.
What's new?
Whale or kale?
Whale or kale?
Sure.
That's the one.
Sure. Kale.
Good choice. Bette Midler or the Riddler? Please tell me you know who Bette Midler is.
I know who Bette Midler is. My mother raised me on Bette
okay,
Midler.
Okay, so now we get... Okay.
I met her once, so I have to pick Bette Midler. Her son went to a school that my friend's brother went to, and they were in a show together. And she was just sitting in the audience, and I've been obsessed with Hocus Pocus pretty much my whole life.
I love
life.
Hocus Pocus so much.
It's like my favorite movie. Like, I'm not even embarrassed to say that.
Excited.
Sorry, I couldn't control
it.
It
was like instinctive.
It's like my all-time favorite movie. Like, if I'm upset, Hocus Pocus comes on, and I'm no longer sad. So yeah,
I heard they're making a sequel. I'm not sure if that's totally true, but I heard.
Don't get my hopes up like that because it was a rumor.
Yeah, I think it was a confirmed rumor.
That's messed up. You don't mess with diehard fans like that.
No,
I know that's like making like for me that's like a second Fight Club or something. I'd be like,
oh. Oh my gosh, Fight Club, so good.
You dig it? Yeah. Love Requiem for a Dream. You ever seen that?
Requiem for a Dream, I've seen, but it's been a really long time.
But you dig it? Okay, we're good now. You and I are good. Those are my two of my top favorite movies.
Did I redeem myself?
You redeemed yourself.
And you had me at Hocus Pocus, so you know.
You had me at Hocus Pocus. That needs to be my Twitter bio. I need to change it. To
I
that.
Think we're gonna tweet that right after this interview. We're
I think
we're
gonna have to.
Only more. Yeah, there we go.
That's incredible.
Now bear all of this in mind. Now everything that we've done so far, bear this in mind and channel it into your answer.
Okay.
Ross or Marcio?
Messed up. Messed up.
We went there.
Ross or Marcio?
Marcia Ross.
Oh, I got the name first, and I'm good with that. See, that was subconscious. That was subconscious. She's like, she had to put one of us first, and she said Marcia.
Well, I just
Ross.
Felt like Ross.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
Flowed
yeah.
off of Marcio better.
Sure,
you know?
Oh, hi. Sure, sure. I'm going to take helps. This. I'm taking this to heart. I don't get many wins. Ross always wins.
Oh, well. Well.
What sort of music recommendations do you have?
I really like James Bay. I really like FKA Twigs. I like Banks is like my favorite artist right now. She's so dope. And also my all time favorite band next to Simon and Garfunkel is Local Natives. I don't know if you guys have heard of them, but they are totally worth checking out.
And awesome. there's this weird guy we had on named Brandon Burnett at some point.
I would steer clear of anything Brandon Burnett. He's really good.
So Brandon Burnett, your boyfriend.
No, I'm just kidding. If you have any sense about you at all, you will definitely check out Brandon Burnett.
When we had him on the show, we have to mention that you definitely helped direct one of his music videos, and we were right behind you on that one, saying that you need a director's credit. Which video was it?
I want to be free.
I want to be yeah. free. That's right. So just putting it out there, Brandon. Come on, man. Credit where credit is due, man.
Come on.
And based on your recommendations, I have some recommendations also.
Oh, cool.
I actually recommended this artist to Brandon as well, because he mentioned Banks too. Mm-hmm. A girl called Indiana. She's from the UK. She's called okay. Indiana. She's awesome. Very Banks-esque. And also a favorite of mine and Marcio's is Meg Myers.
Yes. I love Meg Myers. Yeah. Have you heard Lemon Eyes?
Yeah, her album just came out. Was it last week? Last Friday? Her debut album.
I have to check it out. Yeah. She's so dope. She's crazy. I love her music.
I dig it.
Yeah. We love her too.
And everyone can check you online on SoundCloud. This is like your main home base right now, basically, right? SoundCloud. SoundCloud.com/Molly_Moore. That's Moore with two O's.
Yep.
Your Twitter is Miss Molly Moore, M-I-S-S Molly Moore.
Yep.
And your Facebook is Molly Moore Music.
That's it.
Oh, you just couldn't get the same one for each one. That must have driven you crazy.
It still does. Like every day I have like haunting dreams. I'm like, should I take the _ out of my SoundCloud link? Oh my God. Like freaking out.
If you ever did, just get like another SoundCloud with the old username and just say, I am now here or something like that. You know, just send people
there. Oh, that's kind of smart. Yeah. I made this like dumb decision. I had it. I had Molly Moore and I had uploaded like older music. And so I was like, I'll just start a new one. And that was like the dumbest thing I could have done, because then I lost the link that I wanted. And now
can you not change the link?
Because of like all the blogs that have covered me, like if you type in my name and you go to any of those links, you won't be able to find my music then if I change the link.
Yes.
Just say link the old one. And I don't want to do that, because I'm like, that kind
that's
of just
all right. Once you
works
get, like,
against me.
Once you just get like a website and just link right to your SoundCloud, it doesn't matter. It's all good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If that even makes sense, you know what I'm saying? It's just like,
yeah, totally.
It's all good.
Well, I have a website too, but it's not totally fancy. Like I made it, but it's a website.
Right. Well, just putting it out there, you are currently talking, not me, you're currently talking to a music web designer. This is the guy. So just letting you know that.
You?
Ross.
He's the awesome. Designer.
I'm the songwriter.
Awesome. Well, if you want to help me make my website better, just let me know.
that sounded like naughty or something. Like something about it. Just let me know if you need me to.
I'm getting some Hocus Pocus influence here.
Maybe.
I don't know. This struck me as very, well, which one? Sarah Jessica Parker in Hocus Pocus. Can't remember her character's name. I was getting
that's
that.
Funny.
And I'm writing for my next solo album, and I recently just released my side project Midnight Soundtracks debut album, 4Play, so go check it out. And you can hear my solo music on marcianovelli.com, and make sure to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, which are all /marcianovelli.
And I'm working on websites for various artists at the moment. You can check out my work and my blog post at electrickiwi.co.uk. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at electrickiwi, and on Facebook, Electric Kiwi Design.
And this episode was brought to you by Chris Keaton Presents. Find out more about what Chris does and how he can help you at chriskeaton.com.
And if you'd like to sponsor the show, visit bridge-the-atlantic.com/sponsors.
Thank you so much, Molly. This has been awesome.
Thank you. This was so cool. I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, no worries.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes, please come back. Okay.
Definitely.
Maybe we can do a special with you and Brennan. You guys can just like, you can just, the whole time, you can just be like, give me credit. And he'll be like, no.
Give me a director credit. I'm just going to like have him in a chokehold the whole time.
I love it. Okay. Come back again soon. Okay.
All right. Definitely. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.